Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Isaiah Mary Milano, OP, parochial vicar and associate director of the Catholic community, as well as graduate student Erica Fernandez. It is the fifth Sunday of Easter, and the readings are from Cycle C.
It was a day he had been looking forward to his entire life. He planned it for years, if not decades. He knew exactly how he wanted to play it out, who was going to sit where, what questions he wanted to answer, what beautiful turns of phrase he wanted to use. It was going to be a beautiful day, such a beautiful day. It was going to be a day that people will remember for generation upon generations. He'd been looking forward to this moment, his entire life. Yet, when the hour had come, it was also a black day. When the day had finally arrived, it didn't turn out to be the way he wanted it to. Not everything turned out the way he had desired, the way he had fantasized so many times. This fantasy he had to give up. There were parts of that fantasy that he had to just let die. Yet he continued on, and it was okay. That day where Jesus gave us that greatest commandment, the day where he washed our feet, that day where he gave us his body and blood, he tells us that he had been looking forward to that day for many, many years. Yet, it was also a black day. A day with imperfections, a blot that just won't wash out. It was the day Judas ran away. The day Jesus gave us his very self, his very body and blood. That day where Judas turned traitor. The day Judas was seduced by 30 pieces of silver. The day where Judas melted into the darkness of the night and found his temptations waiting there. No life is perfect. No wedding, no birth, no family, no transcript, no lab report, no paper. This side of heaven, virtually everything around us is embedded with some sort of imperfection. Yet, everything is also embedded with the grace of God, with a divine thumbprint, God's smile, God's approval, God's love. Yes, Judas walked out just when Jesus was giving the greatest of all gifts. Perhaps Judas would not have left if Jesus had given him the greatest commandment beforehand. We'll never know. But despite it all, Jesus still gives us his legacy and his purpose. To love. To love one another. The greatest of commandments. The greatest of actions. To see every person we see with dignity, with grace, with the love of our Creator. That we are all the beloved of God. That each of us has been created by God, claimed by God, loved by God. That each of us is a unique, unrepeatable manifestation of the love of our God. Jesus' undying legacy. As you know, over spring break, Lourdes took some of our students to Arizona to experience life at the Arizona border. So with that in mind, I invite grad student Erica Fernandez to speak about her experiences.
Amor sin fronteras. Love without borders. My name is Erica Fernandez. I'm pursuing a master's degree in the Graduate School of Education in Policy, Organization, and Leadership Studies. Last year, I graduated from Stanford with a double major in Iberian and Latin American Cultures and Urban Studies with honors. Next year, I hope to be working in policy issues, hopefully in DC, around immigration issues. Today, I am here to share my journey as an immigrant from Mexico into the United States, and how I have been affected and continue to be impacted by our broken immigration system. Also, I will share my reflection of my recent trip to Arizona with the Catholic community at Stanford. The first 10 years of my life in Mexico remain vividly stored in my memory as if it was yesterday. I began working in the fields at age 5 with my mother. I remember living in a humble mud house with no shower, stove, refrigerator, restroom, nor electricity. Nonetheless, I do not regret growing up poor, because those times taught me life lessons that have helped me appreciate life to the fullest. Due to our extremely poor circumstances, in 1979, my father immigrated to the United States for work while my family stayed behind in Mexico. As an undocumented worker, my father made little money. In 1988, he was able to get his residency as a result of the Reagan Amnesty Program. And in 1993, he filed the paperwork for our family to move to the United States. He wanted to bring us to the United States, like they say, the legal way. But the legal way is too long and expensive, and it separates families too. During these years, my mother worked hard to take care of 6 children, and my dad visited us sporadically. In 1999, my mother and 2 older sisters reunited with my father, leaving 2 of my sisters and me behind in the care of my brother. During these times, separated from our parents, we learned to take care of each other. We understood that it was necessary for them to go out without us, as we were already in debt and did not have the money to pay for the residency process for the rest of the family. However, understanding that we needed to be separated did not mean we were not suffering. As a child, separation from parents felt like my world was coming to an end. At that age, you can't understand laws that separate us from our loved ones. It was almost a year and a half which were separated, and it felt like an eternity. My 2 sisters and I reunited with my parents and older sisters, but not my brother. He later had to cross the desert to be with us, as the chance of obtaining his residency through the legal way was not promising. This was not the only time he tried to cross the border. He also tried when he was 17. I was only 6 years old when he tried. I still remember clearly the uncertainty of the whole family. Is he okay? Is he thirsty? Did he make it? Did he die? We just prayed for him and everyone else who was trying to cross. Just like the first time when he tried to cross, now we were on the U.S. side, and the agony of not knowing how he was doing is one of the most difficult feelings to tolerate. He tried many times. He was caught, but he never gave up, because the love for our family was greater than all the pain he was enduring. I recall clearly when the coyote called our home asking for the money and threatening us that if we did not respond, they would kidnap and kill him. My brother arrived dehydrated, with lots of thorns in his feet, exhausted, with lots of fear. And that fear of being caught and deported did not go away until 2 years ago, when he finally got his green card. He was living under the shadows and always with the fear that he would be separated from our family. Those are just few of the challenges that he faced, including being limited to work in the fields under really harsh conditions, as he could not work in a better paying job because he did not have the piece of paper to work legally. I can go on and on of stories about my father and my brother, but I think you get the point. People are not just crossing for what the Border Patrol thinks they are crossing for, to be criminals. They're hardworking people like you and me who are willing to give everything for our loved ones, because love does not have boundaries. Migrants are willing to cross to help sustain their loved ones wherever they are, even if they die in the process. During the trip to Arizona, everything had an extreme, heartfelt impact on me because it hit home. These issues have affected me even before I was born, when my father started coming to work in the fields, but also have been part of my reality since I came to the United States. It is hard to imagine the pain, the exhaustion, and the fear of dying in trying to make it to the other side and never seeing your family again. In Arizona, we were exposed to border and immigration issues from many perspectives. One in particular was when we went to a detention center for unaccompanied youth. This was the first event and one of the hardest to experience. In this detention center, there are children from 5 to 17 years of age from all over the world. We could not talk to them about their experiences, but their faces and their eyes said a lot. In their young eyes, we could see lots of pain, tears. Some of them were hurt, had broken limbs, but also lots of hope and faith as we celebrated Mass. When doing an icebreaker, some of them were able to ask each other how they came to the border. Some of the children from Central America said that they came in La Bestia, the beast, the train from Southern Mexico, where many risked their lives by tying themselves under and above the train with the hopes to make it all the way to the U.S. Young girls and women are raped before making it. The police and gangs rob migrants. Drug dealers kidnap and force them to cross drugs. There are many dangers in the process, and we cannot forget how harsh the deserts are that they have to cross. Looking at the eyes of these children who are separated from their loved ones, I could not help but remember when I was separated from my family. I was able to see myself in their eyes and feel the pain I felt knowing what was happening. Just imagine, some of the children may never see their parents again. Many of their parents die trying to cross the desert. Midway into the trip, we participated in a vigil along a street leading to the port of entry. We carry crosses with the names of those who were found to have died in the desert, saying their names aloud and looking at how young some of them were when they died was disheartening. Or to read the ones that said, "Women, unidentified. Men, unidentified." I could not help but think of my father, brother, uncles, friends, cousins, and all my fellow immigrants. I was able to see familiar faces on those white crosses and could not stop thinking, why? Why? All the names we said and those who were never found were fathers, mothers, daughters, sons, sisters, nieces, uncles. They all died for the American dream, and with them, all their dreams and the dreams of their loved ones. Why did they do it? I know why. I know why my family did it, and it makes sense. If you were in their situations, you would do it too. Jesus did it when he migrated to share God's love with others, for you and me. There are many things you can do to help. Everything we do affects this issue. Please get more informed, educate others, go out and stand with migrants, call senators, congressmen, call Obama. We can all make a difference. These issues are bigger than me, and I can't do it alone. I need your help. The 11 million hardworking individuals need you. There are many ways to get involved. Do not let another family be separated. Another father and mother risk their lives trying to reunite with their children. It's a family issue, a human dignity issue. We should all love one another as God has taught us. God bless you. Thank you.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Producer, Father Isaiah Mary Milano, OP. Director, Gary Glover. With music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.